Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Welcome, angels, downworlders, demons, and everything in between, to another episode of the podcast. Dom, how are you today?
I'm very well. Catherine, how are you?
I'm good. We're very formal today. I'm not sure why.
Very formal.
It's not 7 a.m. We're awake.
That must be it. I think, yeah, we're a little more loose.
Yeah, well, there we go. Well, welcome to this episode of Return to the Shadows. We have a very, very special episode today.
We sure do, because we're joined by the fantastic Michael Whalen / Adam Harrington. Adam, welcome.
Thank you, guys. I'm very happy to be here.
Adam, it's so lovely to have you on the show. It's been many, many years since I've seen you. And yeah. Don, I'm sure you've seen him more recently. But
once at the gym, right? We bumped into each other gym in LA. Yeah. But that was it. And then this has all come about because my now girlfriend is being tutored by the lovely Adam, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the world is small, but brings the Shadow Fam back together. So we've got some fun facts here. Adam, we know you appeared in episodes 10 and 11 mm-hmm. of season one of the show.
Yeah.
Whew, long time ago. Long, long ago. In a Shadow
it was like
world,
7 years ago. We filmed that like 7 years ago. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Because we get on our notes that I don't have because I can't find them. It says that the air date of the show, and obviously we've filmed it previous to that.
Yeah.
Wasn't the air date of this 2016?
Yeah, the air date was 2016.
Wow.
And the filming date was 2015.
Wild? That's crazy. You haven't changed at all.
Well, I got
older. Your hair color has changed. That's it.
This is not my hair. I wish I could claim it. This is all wig all the time. But we have some fun facts. So first fun fact, you have a master's degree in marine biology?
I do.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
tell us.
Well, I grew up where you guys shot Shadow Hunters. I grew up about an hour away. Mm-hmm. And I loved acting as a kid, but I also loved the outdoors and the ocean and all that stuff. And my parents, I grew up in a steel town, actually, where they film. There's another series that shoots in Canada and they film it there. But you didn't become an actor. And I love the outdoors. And my parents were like, you're going to get an education. And I started scuba diving when I was 16. So I went to a, a college that wasn't too, again, not too far from where you shot, that actually had a good marine biology program. So I did my undergrad and then a master's degree in marine biology, finished it, was curator of an aquarium, worked for the government, dove all over Canada, then thought, okay, this is what this looks like. Do I want to do this for the rest of my life? And I still had the acting bug. So I was living on an island off the west coast of Canada, and I packed everything up, moved to Vancouver, got a bartending job, and started going after acting.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old were That's you when amazing. When this transition happened?
28.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wow. later.
Oh, very later.
Because this is something that we're finding with the podcast that we have to, we're not very good at explaining necessarily to non, like acting, just sort of acting novices, maybe the ins and outs of how it works, you know, yeah. in this world. And to people who don't know, 28 is quite late to start diving
yeah,
in, right?
Yeah. Very, very late. And I felt it.
Did you?
Really?
So I just played catch up as fast as I could. And if I auditioned for stuff that I kind of naturally sat in the pocket of, I was great. And if it wasn't, it was terrible.
Interesting.
It was a train wreck. I remember going in to audition for a medic in a helicopter, and I decided that I should be screaming over the sound of the helicopter rotor blades. And I finished the audition.
In the audition,
and the casting director, who I think could have been nicer, I stopped, and he's like, "Okay, first of all, I'm right here."
Wow.
And it was demoralizing.
It's devastating, when you get that, especially when it's face to face. We've moved on a little now to like Zoom auditions. That's all I've had for the last God knows how. I can't remember the last time.
But kudos to you, Adam. You committed. You jumped right. That's a hard thing to get people to do, especially
they
would
have. Those soldiers would have heard me over that chopper if I. I mean, strangely enough, I didn't book that part. But funnily enough, I didn't seem professional enough to get onto a set with that one. But yeah, it was. I think actually, I look back now and people say, you know, do you ever use your education? And I will say this to anybody that wants to become a marine biologist: just go scuba diving. Unless you really want to follow that path into science, it's scuba diving was the best part of it. But it taught me how to do research, so that when I switched into acting, I didn't realize I had this drive of how do I go about this, and I had that drive and energy already to do it. And I was really thankful for that because I started so late. Amazing. I couldn't just wait to be discovered. I kind of had to go after it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Well, speaking of going after it, what brought you to the shadow world? What was that casting process like?
I don't remember. I was going to lie and say I did, or try to come up with a story. But to answer your question, for people that are listening that aren't in this world, what happens is you just, through your agent, your show would put out they call it a breakdown of, hey, this is the characters we've got coming up, and this is what we need, and this is kind of the age range we want and what we want. And my agents would have given me that information, and I knew it was shooting in Toronto, and I really wanted to do it. So that would have been the audition process. I remember getting it. I remember being super happy that I got it. I remember being really excited I got to go to Toronto. One of your producers, Michael Reese, I had known.
Aww.
Although he didn't factor in the casting process at all. But I remember getting it, and I remember getting excited that I got to go to Toronto.
Nice. Because you were in Vancouver still?
No, I was in LA.
Oh, you were in LA?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, very I moved cool. down to LA in 2007.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And we honestly couldn't have been more grateful to have you. I think we're going to talk about these later on as we make our way through the episodes that we work together with. But it was such a pleasure. I remember distinctly having a lot of fun with you.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I remember too much fun, arguably.
I think Dom won't tell you this, but he was really excited. I remember when he first met you, I don't know if it was a stunt rehearsal or if it was he had just met you in passing, but he came around to shoot another scene. He's like, "I just met my dad." Like, yeah, and he's really awesome, and he's so good. I'm so excited. He seems like he's going to add some. He just was gushing about you.
Yeah.
And so it made all of us really excited.
Ah, that's nice. I felt the same way. Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about this when Dom said you guys were going to invite me on, is the thing I remember about it is how, and then when I watched, when I watched the episode, it's just how committed you guys were to really giving the audience and the fans a really good story. And I remember that about working on it, that we had a lot of laughs and there was no egos on set and everybody wanted to do the best job they could. But when they yelled action, like everybody was, it was a really fun environment to be in.
It was. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because not everyone sat into that right away. Not everyone sat in. And we've discussed this, Kat and I, a few times over the course of the podcast. With I think we've got like five or six in the can right now, and this will be seven or eight, depending on where we are.
Yeah.
Being a guest star is hard work. It's really hard work to come in with a bunch of people who are established already and just kind of slot into that world like you've always been there. And I remember this being one of the times where we spoke about Nicola and we spoke about Paulina and we spoke about Jade. And Adam, you were another one who just came in and we were like, oh, great, here he is. Yeah he's one of us. Like, he's part of the team. Yeah. And that's great.
And what was that like for you? I mean, I'm sure you've done this on other shows as well, jumping in when there's mythology and all of these other things, you have to play catch up. But for Shadowhunters, you specifically had a character that had a lot of not only backstory, but kind of weight to it. And so, you know, for some, I don't know, I doubt you had time to read all six books between the time you were cast and coming to set. So what did they give you any information? Did they tell you anything? Because I know I've had experiences where I go on shows and they tell you nothing until you've done three scenes and you go, oh, that would have changed everything. So what was your experience?
No, they prepped me well. I had my questions. I knew that I wasn't really his father.
Right.
I knew.
Spoiler alert.
I knew. I had looked up, or they had shown, I think they actually showed me some episodes because I wanted to see Alan's performance of Alan.
That was going to be one of my questions, is if you were able to sort of quasi-emulate. But it's an interesting role, isn't it? Because you're emulating to a certain extent, but then also are aware as Valentine that you're pretending to be somebody else. So there's only so much you should mimic, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a direct, if you walked and moved and talked like Valentine, people would be like, huh.
You're a dude dressed as a dude, disguised as another dude, pretending to be another dude.
Yeah.
I think I remember splitting it up into kind of three different things of the scenes where I didn't care about that I was Valentine playing somebody, mm-hmm. that I was just your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scenes where I was Valentine playing your dad. And then the scenes where I actually felt, and I think mostly with Kat, moments where I was just purely Valentine. And then at the reveal.
I agree, because we have been doing the rewatch as we've been going on. I'm trying not to get too far ahead. And I remember rewatching the episode and there were two distinct things that popped into my head. Was right when we've met you in episode 10, we pick you up and I'm dying, as I'm always fucking dying.
For one dying reason or another, usually dying. My fault.
And you explain.
Cat's trying to save you from dying.
Yeah, all because I made a mistake and didn't listen to him in the first place. So he's dying. It's just part of the course. It's going to be a drinking game soon. It's great fun.
But you pick me up with Clary and you cradle me and you tell me that story about our first hunt together. And that felt like I was talking to my father.
Yeah.
I remember it on set. Yeah, that felt absolutely. Like I was talking to my father. This was, and it was beautiful and it was uplifting and just forget that you're dying for a second. And it was like, wow, this is the man that I've been needing in my life for the last 10, 15 years. And then the other side of that is a scene. This is what I noticed. So it'd be interesting to hear your opinion on whether it's the same or not. Was a scene where you sit with Clary at the table and you let your first little bits go, you let your first little, and she clocks it, but I'm not, well, I mean, I didn't clock it anyway, but I wasn't there in that scene. But that was the first time I watched it and I was like, wow, you're moving like Alan. That's really interesting.
There was a moment in that scene. So I know we're segueing all over the place, but there was a moment in that scene and I remember when we filmed it and I forget where it is within the scene where Kat, you and I are talking, but you insult Valentine.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Right.
And it got through. And I think I remember feeling it in my eyes. Like,
I remember
just
remember feeling it in
that's
your
what
eyes
I noticed was
day.
Eyes. I noticed eyes and like there was a thing you did with your mouth as well that I was like, wow, that's fucking cool.
Alex?
I think one of the best things about, and Kat, chime in because I know you agree with me. One of the best things about having such a plethora of guest stars into the show is 9 times out of 10 they're more accomplished or more seasoned actors than us, and we get to learn from you. We get to watch you and go, that's neat, I'm stealing that, that's awesome. And that I felt that very much with you, and the more guest stars we get on, the more I'm going to tell them the same. Hopefully if there's a guest star that comes on and I don't say that, I mean,
they're gonna remember that episode of the pod.
It is very true, especially with, you know, folks like yourself. We were still in season 1 trying to figure out what to do with a show like this and how to lead it and how to kind of carry that through. And watching folks who came in time and time again with such experience and who were so seasoned and just nailed it. We learned how to make a TV show from people like you.
Oh, wild. And, you know, I would say on behalf of, you know, for you guys and the rest of the cast is when guest stars are coming in, we're also watching you guys because you guys know the tone of the show way better than we do. So we're coming in. I mean, I came in episode 10, episode 11. You'd already got 9 in the can. Yeah. I'm sure you'd already had network notes. So I was working off of you guys too to find that tone for your show. That's your specific show.
Totally.
You know, how broad you go, how simple things are, all that mm-hmm. stuff. But further to that, Kat, you said, what was it like to come in? I remember, I think we got to shoot it in chronological order, more or less.
Pretty much.
So that my first experience with you guys was the very first scene where you're pulling me out of the locker. Mm-hmm. And we shot the end of 10 and the beginning of 11 all as one scene.
Right.
We did.
And then they split it for the episode. So I remember thinking that was really fortunate that we could have the scene where I met you guys, but in a particular circumstance that would make you buy into what was happening.
Right.
And that I got the chance to establish, even though it wasn't your dad, which still kills me, to establish that connection of father-son as opposed to coming in and shooting the middle of the end or shooting right. the confrontation with Clary first. And then
we got
yeah.
to, yeah,
we got and to you know, start it.
It's so rare in this industry, I think, that we get to shoot chronologically. Yeah. And again, for, you know, for anyone who doesn't know how it works on set, it's rarely. Very rarely chronological, just because sets are available at certain times, actors are available at certain times, the yeah. weather, whether yeah. you're shooting at night or a day, the props sometimes, like we have this beautiful car coming in. Can we get that today? No, we'll push that to the end of the shoot. Yeah. You know, so we very rarely shoot chronologically. So when you do, it's a real gift
yeah.
because you get to follow the story as you're doing it and not have to come on set that day and go, where was I? Right. Where have I just come from?
Yeah.
Why am I coming here? What is my aim to leave this scene? Where are we right. going? What's next? So it was a lovely thing for us to be able to do.
Absolutely. And speaking of chronological order, let's get into that a little bit.
Okay.
So we first found you, Michael Wayland, in a locker.
Yes.
In a some sort of dark, decrepit place somewhere.
It was in Chernobyl.
That's right. We made it to Chernobyl, finally. And we found you there.
Okay. Did they tell you that it was Chernobyl?
I don't think I
yeah,
knew.
Yeah, it was Chernobyl.
Or if I did, I forgot.
It was Chernobyl.
It's a locker in a very creepy lab. That's what I remember.
So that set was Chernobyl.
That was
in the middle of Chernobyl.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
whole idea behind that is, where's the one place you wouldn't look for someone is in the middle of a radioactive, you know, deserted, desolate area.
Yeah.
But the Shadowhunters aren't affected by that. So it was a safe place for him to be. But it is also possible that they decided that in post. They decided later on that, like, oh, this is a cool place to set this. Let's turn it into Chernobyl.
Something like that.
Kat has questions. I see it on her face.
No,
Kat has
just
questions.
I remember. It was 7 years ago, guys. So let's be real. Some things are lost to the history of Shadowhunters.
We're figuring it out with each other. That's the beauty of it.
That's true. That's why we're both here. But how long did they leave you in that locker? Because I just remember you were you never complained once. You were so committed.
It's been a long time.
Are you kidding? It was day one. I wasn't going to complain. I was happy to have a job.
I feel like, and for people who don't know this, sometimes on set when you are a team player like you are and you just kind of end up sitting there, there's so many other things going on set. Occasionally someone gets, you know, left in a cabinet for a long time or a coffin. You know, it's happened to people.
I think it was the last, I think it was it was close to the last shot of episode 10.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't a lot of time. Mm-mm. I don't remember. We got to it pretty quick.
Well, that's good. We didn't leave you in there for rehearsal.
Yeah, I mean,
you
threw me in the locker. I think everybody went for lunch and then dinner later. But, you know, somebody squeezed a piece of pizza through one of the slats
yeah.
at me.
It was pizza day. We went to the pizza oven down the street. You must have been there for 3 hours.
Yeah. No. Kat, thank you. But no, I think it was pretty quick. I think I just remember trying to peer out and hearing your dialogue before you got to it.
That's another weird thing that they never tell you about, like behind the scenes. There normally, if you're sort of off camera, if you're around like the corner, you're about to enter a set, there's someone there. There's a PA or an AD there who tells you, write that line, because they have the sound in their ears. So they will tell you that's the line, that's your cue, and you go. You didn't have that. You didn't have a PA in that.
No, and I used it. I went pure method. was like, I'm isolated in here. My 10 minutes is 10 years.
Yeah. Who is that? Who's talking? Yeah.
Yeah. But then we got you out.
Then you got me out.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Then we see a really different side of Jace, which is, I think it's one of the first times that Clary actually sees this true vulnerability in him. Mm-hmm. And this, because you know, his father is the one hole in his life, which is sort of a way in which they connect in a lot of circumstances. But it was a really lovely thing to see that turn in that character, and it provided a lovely opportunity to set up those relationships.
Yeah. It's interesting. I wasn't aware that it was a turn, which is cool because my first impression of my son was that vulnerability and that need, which was cool to set
totally.
That up.
Yeah. Which canon you will have seen. You will have seen that vulnerability within him because of what happened with the Falcon and the story about, to recap for those who haven't seen it in a while, there's a story that's very defining in who Jace is. He was bought this Falcon by his father, and he was told to train this Falcon to make it obedient. And after trying over a long period of time, he got this Falcon to fly back to him, you know, this, that, and the other. And my father took the Falcon and snapped its neck in front of Jace because he was told, did you not know this story? Did they not tell you this?
It's coming back to me.
Because he was told to train the Falcon, and what Jace did was make the Falcon love him. And that's two different things. And the lesson was, as is a theme throughout the show, emotions cloud judgment. You don't fall in love with this thing unless it's the thing that is going to be in your life forever. I told you to train this thing. You didn't train it. You made it love you.
Yeah.
So, and we've just heard that, like just heard that story either in the previous episode or maybe even in this episode. Yeah. Can't remember. But either way, the story is very related to this. And it's the defining moment of why Jace is as hard as he is. Why he is so stringent, and he doesn't stick to the rules, but the law that has been, L-O-R-E, the law that has been indrummed in him.
The lore.
Is so, the law. It sounds the same in my accent.
It does. The law, Catherine, and the lore. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
I translate.
Thank you very much. But this, and exactly, when we open these doors and I get to look into my father's eyes for the first time and see this man that has been missing in my life, it is that like takes your breath away moment. At least for me, that's how it felt on set. We're like, oh my God, this can't be what we're looking at. This can't be correct. And then it is. And you prove it to him with that moment. And it's this really beautiful, and it's nice that we're sort of already, we embrace each other and we hug as you come out. And then as you prove it, we're already close to each other because mm-hmm. it felt like a physically close moment. I loved that scene. And I loved rewatching that scene, which is interesting because I've had some difficulties. We were just talking earlier
about rewatching.
I've had some difficulties rewatching. Yeah, because it's watching yourself and then scrutinizing yourself, which is another thing a lot of actors do maybe more than they should, is overanalyze those performances. So there have been a lot of episodes that I really struggled with watching where I was like, why did I make that choice? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do this? But this one, I watched it back and I went, wow, that just felt right. That felt exactly right. And in large part, that's credit to you.
Oh, well, thank you. I just want to apologize for killing your falcon.
Thank you. We have it on record. Michael Whalen has apologized.
Kat, Clary, I'm really sorry that you had to deal with him and that. I mean, yeah, I know. Your baby's raising babies. And I would have done things totally different now.
Of course.
I just never would have given you a bird in the first place. I just said you wouldn't deserve it.
Maybe a chicken or something. Yeah, something that was easier to train.
Speaking of apologies, I have to run back to set. But before I do, I do want to bring up one story that is, I tell this story all the time. It's potentially, it's one of my like top five favorite stories from filming this show. And it's so indicative of the fun that we had on set. And I think this was one of the first times it happened. Dom and I have talked about this a lot. We crack up all the time on set because when you're doing something so dark and heavy, you need levity sometimes. But there was one particular scene that it was the three of us and Isaiah in the Jade Wolf. And it's that sort of game plan scene where we're going, okay, we're going to go here. We're going to go to Valentine's there. We're going to do this. We're going to get the stuff. We're going to go ready, break. I don't know what it was. There was something in the air that day. The four of us could not stop laughing to the point where the ADs were getting mad. And I've watched the scene back again. We are not making eye contact. Mm-mm. None of us are visibly
avoiding.
You can tell.
I remember the laughing. I remember thinking, Adam, don't encourage this. You're a day player. They'll just come in and yank you off with a hook. But I do remember something happening and we got the giggles. And I think we had to break for lunch, didn't we? We
had to go into grace, which for those of you who don't know, it's when you go overtime and you have to ask for extra time. But yeah, we had to go into grace on lunch because we were all laughing so hard.
Terrible. All right, Kat, hopefully we get you back fairly shortly. If not, have a wonderful time on set and I will continue with Adam.
Thank you. I will do my darndest to get back. But if not, okay. Adam, so lovely to see you.
Pleasure to
Enjoy
see
you. Enjoy the
it.
Rest of this interview, folks. I have to run to work, but sending all my love.
Bye, Kat. So talking of that scene, I remember this scene. It was us around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember was, at least from my point of view, every time I got myself composed, I was like, we're good. It's good. I'm good. We can make it through this scene. It was a long scene. It was a really long scene. Every time I got myself into a place where I was composed, I would look over and someone else had that twinkle. And I was like, oh, no. Oh no. And it seemed to be like a rotating thing, whoever kicked off the, you know, the giggles.
Did we get the giggles because we knew it was the okay, here's the plan scene?
Maybe.
And we knew it had to be committed and serious and earnest.
And there
was something about the committed earnestness of it that got us. Because you could see it forming in the other actor's eyes. We're going to do a take.
It is funny, isn't it? I sort of thinking back about the ones that make me break. There's a level of seriousness where it's not. If you're filming like a death scene or you know something like that, that very rarely gets me. But if we're filming something that's already light and jovial, that very rarely gets me. It's that middle section where it's like semi-serious and you know we're about to do something very serious. That always makes me laugh.
I think that was also a day where we knew we had a lot to do and there was a lot of actors that were going to be coming in and out of that. And there was the, mm-hmm. okay, we got a big day here.
The pressure doesn't help.
Yeah.
The pressure does not help at all. So tell us a little more about, I'm assuming this wasn't your first time in Toronto.
No.
You've been in and out of Toronto a whole bunch, right?
Yeah. And I had grown up in the area, so I was familiar with it and I'd shot a series there.
Got it. Was this, am I right in saying this was sort of your first foray into like the young adult, like series, the big sort of.
I had done a series for the CW called The Secret Circle. That was kind of my first foray into that sort of mm-hmm. world. But I, I think that had been pulled from a book. I'm not sure. But yours was the first foray into a definite, we know what it is, we know what we're setting up, we know the lore. This world is firmly established. It's firmly, as the books, it's firmly has its own success.
See, and that's interesting that that was your experience, because that was not the case. We were just making shit up as we went along. And I think maybe because you came in later in the season, we'd found a few things.
You guys had found your rhythm. It felt like you guys had really found your rhythm. I remember looking to you guys because I'd be like, is this the right? And you'd be like, yeah, it's, yeah, we're.
Yeah. Yeah. But interestingly, come season two, and this will lead us into another talking point that we should talk about.
Okay.
We changed a huge amount. The swords changed, the runes changed, the a lot of the lore changed, what you could and couldn't do. And we got new showrunners in. So Ed Dector left and we got in Schwimmer and his team, and they were ready to sort of re-evolve this into something new, which was interesting. So it's interesting that your experience was like, we were set up and we were ready to go. We were flying by the skin of our teeth there, buddy. That was the whole thing. But interesting that we have broached the change, because we had a somewhat tumultuous opening to the public with you, right? Because there was a photo that was released and everyone sort of panicked at, you know, again, for people who don't know, when you're filming something, especially before it's been released, it is top secret. You are not allowed to release anything. You're not allowed, you have to get approval to release a photo. You're not allowed to shoot sets or new cast members or anything like that. And then all of a sudden this photo of Jason, his father, end up on the internet. And we're like, oh no.
Was it a video? Was it a photo?
Or was it a video? Was it a video?
I think it may have been, I don't remember, but I'm
even worse.
It could have been you and I. It was you and I training.
Training. I remember the boxing day. Yeah, I remember. It was the first time I really thought, this hair is longer than I would like it to be. Very, very.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember? It was a whole nightmare.
Yeah, but you had the California way of getting it out of your face down. It's like, oh my God.
Took some training. But that was our first, actually may have been our first experience with, oh no, I think we've released this earlier than it should have been released. And it has happened a few times since then, but that was the first time. But fortunately for everyone here in this room, it ended up not being our fault. And that person ended up getting, not just for this, for many reasons, some of which I was directly involved.
He completed his contract.
Correct. Yeah. We went different ways. We wished him the best and we went different ways, which I was very grateful for.
Yeah. Sounds like season two was fresh in many ways.
Agreed. Yeah. And it's a shame. Well, I guess there was no way we could have gotten you back because you sort of rounded out your storyline there. But I would have loved to have you come back, even if it was for flashbacks.
Even when I watched the episodes again, the only thing that was a disappointment about coming into this world is that I wasn't actually your dad.
I know.
Because it
and
felt
we were
like,
cast so well as well. We look so much like each other. Even my dad watched the episode, my actual dad. Oh, and I remember my dad calling me and going, I don't look like him, but man, I wish I did. Fun thing for us to deal with.
I remember getting cast and somebody, a friend of mine was like, what are you going to go work on? And I think I found your picture and I'm like, I'm playing his father. And they're like, yeah, okay.
Dummy. Yeah. But it's interesting because I don't think we are that different in age, are we? There's only like maybe 10 years, 15 years between us.
I'm 54.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? Holy water? Is it a deal with the devil? What have you got going on?
I can't.
There?
I should look 80. I think it's just genetics. I think it's just my parents.
Well, but, you look fantastic.
Ah, thanks.
I hope I look like that when I'm 40
in 30 years.
So I was wrong about the age difference. You're absolutely right. You were an appropriate father.
It was pretty appropriate. I just remember you doing a lot of push-ups and constantly being oiled up and me being in a gray sweatshirt that was three sizes too big.
Yeah. It happens.
Of course, I would have
preferred a baggy sweatshirt, if I'm honest.
I remember thinking you were as you all did, put in a lot of time to sell the story and to make it appealing to the audience. And I just remember on those days how hard you were working on your diet and exercise and the training and all that stuff.
The diet and the training. And the training, so that's another interesting thing. We didn't really do any technique training in martial arts in season one. Season two, we were doing 3-4 sessions a week in the actual martial arts, and then we would learn the fight scene based around that. So we would learn how to do these things correctly, and then we would learn how to do that and not hit somebody, and not hit somebody with your swords, especially because the swords got, they were safer in many ways, but they were more dangerous in many ways. They were thicker and stronger. Have you seen the sort of cleaver style sword from 300?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We had like a version of that in season two. That was my sort of personal sword.
Did that allow you to be able to bring in more choreography and more combat into the
much
second
more.
Season?
Yeah. Much
that must
more.
Have felt great.
But it, which did feel great. But what was interesting was I can look back at season two, even that, sorry, season one, even that scene with us, because we would do boxing. I would do boxing training, and Dean Kopkov, who came on, who was our boxing trainer, who has sadly passed away now, but became a very, very close friend of all of ours. We would train in boxing, and I can watch that scene and go, that's not right. I'm not doing any of the right things there. That's really odd, because we didn't train in the technique of these things. Yeah. Whereas season two, I think we got there a month early and we're training hard, really hard.
Yeah.
Which is a shame we didn't get back you back in season two, because you would have got to experience that side of things as well.
I just remember the boxing stuff, and that regardless of what it was supposed to look like, what the good version of it looked like, we worked really hard to make sure that what we were doing was exactly what we were shown, because it did happen rather quickly. And I know that you and I worked, I remember you and I running it over and over and over and over again to make sure that what we were doing was at least sellable as a plot.
Well, and yeah, not just the physicality of it, because I think what, at least what I've found as an actor is, especially when these guys, you know, if these guys aren't well trained, then it can look silly and you can get confused with things or whatever, but these guys are very well trained, so it needs to look sort of fluid.
Yeah.
And then we need as actors to get to a stage where that's so relaxed that the acting part is the only thing we're focusing on. And I remember that being a thing, because really what matters is the connections between us and the lessons you're trying to teach Jace throughout that scene, and not so much the physicality of the whole thing, as much as people enjoy watching that as well. So it's a whole balance. And again, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, and you have not heard that obviously, but I'll reiterate for you, is trust is so valuable in what we do. And you have to trust the person opposite you, not just physically, but emotionally. And especially with scenes like this, where they are vulnerable and they are delicate, and having people like yourself coming in who, because trust takes time, doesn't it? Like, it's not, you
I
don't just walk
feel
into it.
Did, though.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying.
That was a
it didn't.
Thing.
It just sort
I
of snapped.
In
yeah.
Just, I think it probably speaks to the cast and Kat and you and your work ethic, that I just kind of walked in and I'm like, okay, let's work. And you were like, yes, let's work.
And yourself, though, please don't write yourself out of that list. Yeah. Like, we need to trust you too, you know? And there are, again, I've worked with actors who are series regulars when I was a guest star, and you kind of get bulldozed by those people. And you're like, well, I don't trust you, but this is your show. So you just kind of, you're along for the ride in that. And I think, I know Kat and I and the lead cast made a real point of making sure that was never the case.
Yeah.
But then also, the reverse of that is coming on as a new face and proving yourself in, like you said, such a small space of time. You can trust me. Let's work through these things together. And people who are willing to, you know, 2 hours we probably sat and drilled that scene before we were even filming it.
Yeah.
And people who are willing to come in and do that little bit of extra work that makes the scenes more valuable and easier for us to do, right?
Yeah, I think it was just a great match, because that's how I try to approach things. Totally. Just come in and be like, what's the story? How do I tell it? And in the boxing thing, I thought, worst case scenario, they'll cut to a shot of Dom pushing his hair out of his eyes.
Which they do.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
One of the great things I think about getting guests in on this show is not only do we get to talk about the show, but we get to talk about you. So tell me what's been going on, because we discussed on the phone something that I didn't know that was really quite exciting to me.
I had no idea. So when Dom called me and asked me to do this, he said, "Hey, what else is going on? What have you got going on?" I said, "Well, I'm finishing up working on this video game." "Oh, that's cool. What are you doing?" And I said, "It's God of War." And you kind of paused. And you said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm Sindri in God of War." And your reaction was, I couldn't have been more, it put a big smile on my face.
Oh, that's good.
That's why I like doing stuff like that, because you played God of War.
I have played it a few times. I played it on PS4 when it originally came out.
Yeah.
Then I managed to get a hold of a PS5. I played it on PS5 through twice. So I do video games this way. The first one, I get it on like easy or medium mode. I learn the game. I play the story through. But this was the first of all of the God of Wars, I think, where it was open world. Like, there was so much to do.
Yeah.
There were so many little side quests and missions and stuff that you could go and do. So this was the first one. So the first time I play just through the story, I don't really play with anything else. And then I go through and I'm like, I'm going to do everything. 100% of everything. I'm going to go through the game. And that took me, I'm not going to say a time frame, but I spent more time on that than I probably should have done. definitely. You can put it this way. I got COVID on December 15th, and that was, I was working on a show. I was working on Partner Track at the time.
Yeah.
And the regulation for being on set was you have to do your full 10 days of quarantine. Then once you've had no symptoms, you can test again. We can get you back in. So it was at least 10 days committed immediate just to that game, which is so cool. And you have a new one coming out. Yes.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're allowed to talk. I want to hear everything about it, but I don't know what you're allowed to say.
I'm allowed to say it's announced. Mm-hmm. I know that the press releases for it, all they have said is Ragnarok is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We are still working on it.
Okay.
We are not allowed to say anything about release dates.
That was going to be my next question for sure.
Obviously, COVID has affected everything.
Of course. Yeah.
But it's really cool.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Because the one thing about the first one, and I'm positive you're not allowed to say this, but we met two of the Nordic god, the two brothers. We met them. But there was one that we didn't meet. There was Thor. We met him briefly, but we never physically interact with him. So I'm trying to read your face to see what I can say.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. That's all I'm allowed to say.
That's the smartest answer, I think.
Let me just put it this way. I'm getting really worried right now that my phone is somehow recording this.
Sending it to
just
them,
be outside the window.
Yeah, you get a little red dot.
Yeah. No, they are very, you know, we've got NDAs as you've
I'm sure.
And you would, because we are.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I was chatting to a friend about this recently, and I've started doing this thing where I stop watching trailers for TV shows and for movies and for video games as well, because there's this interesting culture, especially with social media, where a lot of people are out to figure out what happens in this before it's aired. And Spider-Man was a big version of that, the new Spider-Man, where everyone was trying to figure out if the other two guys were going to be in it and this, that, and the other. Yeah. And there was a real part of me that took a step back and went, why are you unwilling to just enjoy it, to just go and enjoy it? Like, this is what we're intending to do. Yeah. We as actors and artists, producers, writers, we're writing this story for you to sit down and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this passion for trying to get that information early is there. Like, when the movie is ready for everyone to watch, or the game is ready for everyone to participate in, then it's ready and you get to experience it that way, the way it should be experienced.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. So I will ask fewer prying questions from here on out. Another thing that's interesting, I've not done a video game before. Isaiah has. I think Isaiah's done Gears of War a couple of times and bits and bobs. But what is it like? What's the process of, do they give you any information? Do you see your character? Do you get to build it around that, or is it the other way?
So I've done three. I did one called LA Noir, which was very cool because it had new face technology that nobody had used before.
Michael Gladys was in that, was he not?
I think
Michael and I just did Penny Dreadful together years ago. We actually played, not years ago, 2020. Yeah. We played Lovers in Penny. Yeah. That was so fun. Jesus.
There's a lot of people in that game.
Right.
That we didn't know a lot going in. We just knew it was film noir. And then I did another one called Battlefield Hardline that was a little more standard.
Which I also played. Oh my God. And did I not text you when I was playing this? Or I
don't quite remember.
Maybe I tried to and I didn't have your number.
Tyler?
Yeah. Taylor. You were the good guy that then turned into the not so good guy. I remember, because this is what's so interesting about this, is I remember not necessarily from your voice, but this one, he looked like you.
Yeah.
He really looked like you. And I remember seeing that and going, I'm like 80% sure this man's played my father.
Yeah. And then with God of War, yes, because of the world, they kind of introduced us to it and then we knew it. And then with this one, they sat down ahead of time and walked us through the story.
Interesting.
So that we kind of knew. I remember my audition for God of War. I think it was at Sony Studios or something, and they had me auditioning, and a group of executives from, I think, Japan were touring the studio. And I think there's actually footage of, in the middle of my audition, them all coming through a door at the far end of the room and just standing there watching.
Oh, no.
And I kind of incorporated them.
Yeah.
Because of the way Sindri is.
Yeah.
But I that was funny.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how did you go? Because we did they tell you accent? Did they tell you creature in the audition? Did they give you any of this information?
No, I knew that he was a dwarf. That's what he was described at the time. I knew he was a weapons maker, and I know that he was a germaphobe.
Got it.
So the whole audition was me working with a piece of plastic pipe and just saying, you're a weapons maker, but you also, and it was, I think it was the whole audition was me trying to figure out where to lean.
Right.
That wasn't dirty.
Right.
And then when we were filming the first game, they gave me some leeway. I think there's some dialogue where I'm grabbing Kratos' sword, his axe, and I ask if there's blood on it. That was ad-libbed.
Oh, great.
So they were really great about just letting you explore.
Incorporating. So when you, because you did just say film something like this, do they, is it motion capture? Do they motion capture you?
They do motion capture.
Cool.
So for people that aren't familiar with it, it's like you walk into a giant room and it's just all these tiny little infrared cameras on all the walls and they tape off an area of the room and they call that the volume.
Okay.
And when you're in the volume, they put you in these skin tight suits covered with Velcro and they cover you in dots and ping pong balls. And the technology constantly changes. So when I worked on LA Noir, they literally strapped you into this. And everybody knew when you had to go to the bathroom because they had to get you out of the suit.
Right. Yeah, it takes a team.
But it changed by every year. And then by the time God of War came out, they had the headgear and then it was different colored dots.
The Avatar things. They filmed your face.
They would film the face. And that would, for scenes where you're really close with another actor, it would be hard because you have to figure out how to get
juggle
the cameras.
So
you're just in this thing, you know, in a volume and everything is just made out of, it's like you're a kid playing go-karts or something.
Yeah.
Anything you're making is all just pipes stuck mm-hmm. together, plumbing things. A car really isn't a car. It's just yeah. wheels and you're, it's a lot
of fun.
Did
they give you any, I'm sure, because it's all, it you like you say, you know, it's kids picking up sticks and pretending they're swords. Yeah. Like that's all it is, which I know from my point of view is a large part of like why I got into this industry. Like it's, I was a kid and that was the thing I enjoyed doing the most was making pretends. Like that yeah. was my favorite thing. Did they give you any training or any blacksmith?
We went on a outdoor survival thing for a day and they took all the wow. cast and they taught us how to make shelters and how you'd build fire. And we did we do gun training on this one? I don't remember if we did or not, but we had a day where they had the cast bonded by all going Amazing. Out in the middle of nowhere and building shelters and all that stuff.
So fun. Where and did you go? I did. I mean, it's unlikely to have been the same yeah. place because we were in, off the coast of the UK. But I had a similar thing when I did a movie based around the same, not God of War, but survivalist yeah. concept. And they just put us in the woods with an instructor for a week and were like, survive.
Where did you go?
We were in the Isle of Man for that, which was awesome because we had the TT race going on at the same time, the motorcycle yeah. race going on at the same time. So that was wild. So we were in, you know, the deepest part of the wood, and every now and then you'd hear this. It was just a bike whizzing past somewhere, which was cool. But that's cool that they gave you that sort of, and then, yeah. so you're doing the motion capture. Do you have any blacksmith knowledge? Because I played the game. I loved the game. It looked like you were a blacksmith.
No, and part of my movements would be me, and then mm-hmm. part of them is, you have to remember, there's the actors, and then there's the entire design team and all those people that are creating the animation. So basically, you're just hitting. They made it very easy for Sindri just to be hitting stuff. And then I used to, when I was a kid, I was really good at archery.
Mm-hmm.
So
we should go.
Do you do that?
I love archery.
Yeah, I think I almost killed my mother once. I was... as a kid, because I had this wood stump, uh-huh. and I would fill pizza boxes with newspaper.
Great.
And I would fire at that, and an arrow clipped off the top of it and went over into the neighbor's backyard. Oh. And then my mom was like, no, 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 you shoot towards the house.
Right.
So I'm in the backyard. It clips across the top, and my mom is in the kitchen doing the dishes, and the arrow came right at her, hit the glass, didn't break, and bounced.
Wow.
Bounced back off, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've just killed my mother.
And that is the harrowing story of how you became an actor, I'm pretty sure, right? It all starts like, with something like this.
This is a rush. Yeah. I want to keep doing this, man. Someone's going to pay me to
do
that.
How do I keep this going?
That's a real feeling. I almost killed somebody.
Oh, funny, yes. Which I'm sure is why you played such a wonderful paternal figure for Jason the show.
I have to make up for so much damage.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
God, how funny. How funny. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I think we're sort of approaching the end of this because you and I need to go and get ready for, again, I've spoken about Decca quite a bit on this podcast just because I'm super in love and I like talking about her. But Adam is Decca's acting coach currently, right?
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I remember her talking about an acting coach, just an amorphous acting coach, and talking about how incredible you were and the insights you have and how gentle you are with your cast, but with your, you know, your students, but also you push in the correct ways that need to be pushed. And I was like, this guy sounds incredible. What could I come and do a session? And she said, I'm not sure because you don't like taking couples, right? You don't.
Oh, I don't have a problem.
Oh, you don't have a problem. That might have been a lie from her.
I know couples that don't want to study together because the nature of the class. They want to be in different classes.
I would love to come in for. Yeah, you're more. I didn't know that. I thought that this was like a thing. Yeah. And then anyway, I digress. She said, somehow we got into your name. And she said, his name's Adam Harrington. And I was like, there's no way. There's no fucking way that is Adam Harrington who played my father in a show. Absolutely mind-blowing. I would love to come in and take a class.
Oh, absolutely. Amazing. And the wonderful thing about this, so I'm going to plug her film. It's
We should.
We're about to go to the Santa Barbara Film Festival to watch the premiere of her film, Juniper.
Correct.
And her, Madison and Olivia met in my class.
I heard about that. That's right. Yeah, because they're all excited to see you today. And,
I'm so excited to be here.
You must have missed them by... not even 10 minutes. Fortunately, we're going to the premiere, so you're going to see them all. But yeah, what a weird world that we've all ended up in this thing together. Well, Adam, I can't tell you how nice it's been to have you on. It's just to see you again. We haven't seen each other in such a while.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being our guest, for talking the show, for talking about your stuff. And hopefully I'm going to ply you with drinks later and hear more about Ragnarok. That's my plan.
Well, it's been a pleasure being on this. I'm really glad you've got this forum for the people that follow the show and the fans, and all the best with it. And yeah, let's go have a good night.
Let's go have a good night.
Yeah.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by Catherine McNamara and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia, and our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara. The episode was mixed by Seth Alansky. Be sure to subscribe to Return to the Shadows wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a review.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.